Today I'm going to share some of the results from our long-term organic research trial in Illinois. And specifically, this project is focused on the effect of these organic managements on the biological indicators of soil quality. I suspect that many of you know or have some knowledge about the organic standards that have been implemented. They require a three-year transition period under which organic management practices that focus on the soil itself are being emphasized. So the soil is based, this soil building enhancement is thought to improve nutrient cycling, and by enhancing the soil organic matter, we expect to improve the soil conditions for plant growth and also enhance the habitat for microbial or for organisms' activity. So up to this point, we have seen many studies that show the effects of management practices on these organisms. However, we have been a little slow in terms of translating this information and making it available for this great group of farmers that is increasingly growing and really fast. So the objectives of the project were to develop these management aids and make them available for the farmers, and also to explore some of the proven measures of soil quality and go farther with looking at the relationship that these indicators have with the soil biological components, such as the nematode community analysis. So from the indicators of soil quality, we have this group in the top that is particular organic matter, potentially mineralizable nitrogen, and microbial activity. And we think of these indicators as suitable for organic farming in the sense that they represent the most labile nutrient stock in these systems. In addition, I propose the use of these indices that are based on nematodes. These indices have been developed, in particular the maturity index has been developed for monitoring changes in environmental quality in the Netherlands. More recently, they have also been applied to organic systems because these nematodes are or seem to be very sensitive to differences in or changes in management. So these nematodes are really abundant in soils, and they have been classified accordingly into their feeding habits. These abbreviations that I have in here will help me explain the next few slides. So also the development of the taxonomy in the nematology world has helped to differentiate the life history characteristics of the families. And it has been noticed that the families respond differently to changes in their environment. So Bongers in 1990 proposed the CP classification that goes in a continuum from 1 to 5 in here. And it resembles pretty much the RNK selection that for living organisms that we're more familiar with, being the 1 in here, the extreme for the R strategies, and the 5, the extreme for the K strategies. He also coupled this classification with the feeding habits, and we can see that the bacterial feeders pretty much occupy all the CP scale. And as we move down in the table, we see that the predatory and the omnivores seem to be more K-strategies. So in natural systems, we expect to have a maturity index somewhere in here, in between like 3 and 4 into the higher values. In ag systems where we disturb the soil so much, we expect to have a lower maturity index somewhere into this range. This maturity index has been developed for the free-living nematodes. However, the plant parasitic nematodes seem to have a different behavior. And he noticed that they belong to these classifications from 2 to 5. And it happens, or they have like an inverse relationship with the maturity index, where we will have a higher value in a very highly disturbed system like the ag systems and a very low value for the natural systems. Refining and based on these early findings, Bongers and Ferries in 2001 also classified the response of the nematode families into 2 different pathways. On this y-axis, they respond to enrichment, nitrogen enrichment conditions, being the bacterial feeders and the fungal feeders from the groups 1 and 2, pretty much the most responsive. And in the structure pathway, where we have sensitivity to chemical pollution and physical disturbances, we have the groups or the nematodes from groups 3 to 5. So all these indicators have been measured into this long-term organic research trial that we have in Illinois. And we started the transition back in 2003 with three systems or three intensities of management, having pasture, row crop, and vegetable systems. And under these systems, we also modified the inputs, the nitrogen inputs, using compost, manure, and cover crops only. This is a more graphical representation of the intensity of management for each one of the systems. And here in the vegetable system, for example, you can see the diversity of crops that we had along the transition. And that also implies much more soil disturbance. We, according to the system, we also applied, we had a single application of compost and manure for the row crop back in the fall of 2003. And we applied the same applications were done for the vegetable and the pasture system in the spring of 2004. In 2006, these plots were converted to the vegetable system where we planted tomato and peppers, and we collected samples in the tomato phase multiple times during the year in the 0 to 15 centimeters of depth. So our approach for analysis, we wanted to go a little farther than what we traditionally see in the literature. So we started off doing a traditional ANOVA of single variables, and we treated this field as a complete randomized block design. However, to look more profoundly into what's going on into the system, I proposed the use of factor analysis, which allows us to reduce the data set in a sense, and also to look at the indicators that are significantly affected that are more sensitive to the system and to the changes in management practices. After we had performed factor analysis, we used the criteria of doing ANOVA and canonical discriminant analysis using the stepwise selection to determine if these factors were in reality being sensitive to the management practices. And at the end, we did like an interpretation of the variables that were loading significantly on this factor selection. So this is the traditional ANOVA that we usually see when we have multiple indicators of soil quality that are being measured. This table only presents the data at the beginning of the season, the sampling in April. And we pretty much see here in the top, these top indicators, that we were able to build soil conditions or to improve the soil conditions in these systems. However, we were not able to detect sensitivities in either one of these indicators, except for the indicators that are based on the nematodes here at the bottom, the PPI and the EI. That, in particular, this EI was pretty much high in the pasture system compared to the row crop and the vegetable. These values are pretty typical for ag systems. So going into the factor analysis that I propose, here we have the factor analysis for every single day. And the criteria of selection for a factor was that it had an eigenvalue greater than 1, that the proportion of the common variance that explain was greater than greater or equal than 10%, and also we use this SCRI plot criteria that's under the factor analysis itself. So what's not worth it to notice in here is that the PAM, CN ratio, the PMN, and the microbial activity with FDA loaded in different factors you see here with asterisks and bolded, loaded in one factor, and the nematode based in the indices loaded in another factor. They never loaded together, and that was consistent another along across dates. These are the factors 1 and 2 for each date, and these next ones are the factors 3 and 4 for the same date. So we still see that the same pattern holds for these factors, where the nematodes load in one factor and the resource indicators load in another factor. So now we had the 12 factors, 4 for each date, and we needed to do or to make sense of this data set. So what we did is we ran canonical discriminant analysis, as I said before, using the ANOVA criteria to see which one of these factors that are considered new variables were significantly affected by the agronomic practices. And we found that the factor 3 from the April sampling, factor 1 and 3 from the June sampling were the ones that were affected significantly or were sensitive to these practices. And we also noticed that the loadings or these variables, the variables that were affecting to these factors were the PPI, the EI, and the resource-based indicators. For the sake of time, I'm going to focus on the POM right now and on the nematode-based indicators. So what we see in POM, interpretation in POM, is that we started off in the system pretty much the same. We didn't have very much differences in there. But as we incorporated the cover crop, we see that we were able to increase the amount of soil organic matter in the system, except for this decline in the vegetable system with the cover crops. With the enrichment index and the structure index, we were able to see here, we see that the higher the value, the more enriched the system is, and in the x-axis, the higher the value, the more complex and more diverse the system is as well. So we see that at the beginning of the season, we had a quite enriched system. We were providing enough nitrogen for plant growth and probably a little in excess in terms of like being environmentally risky. The same was the case for the June sampling, where we still had higher levels of nitrogen. But as we move along the season, it seems that the level of enrichment started lowering down. And at the same time, the community seemed to start shifting from a more bacterial feeder to a more fungal feeder-dominated community. Also, I wanted to emphasize and make the point here of the detrimental effects that these organic practices or agronomic practices have on these systems. We started off by having a highly complex community where we had basically the four groups that I showed before, the bacterial feeders, the fungal and feeders, the predators, and the omnivores. However, as we till the plows and till the soil for soil preparation, all the weeding events that we do, like hand weeding, we started lowering the maturity, the structure index, and shifting it towards the lower values in here. We would suspect that these indicators in here will start now that since they moved into the lower values, we will expect that this enrichment index will start climbing and going somewhere into this quadrant in here by the end of the season and when the winter follow. For the PPI, we saw that it was high at the beginning of the season in the pasture and the row crop. And as we move along the season, it became much more noticeable or much higher into the vegetable system. This might explain why one of the other research in the group found lower yields in these specific plots. However, one of the weaknesses of this PPI is that the range between that is found in natural systems and in agricultural systems, it's very small. The natural systems will have a range PPI around 2, and the agricultural systems will have something around 3 and 3.1. So it's very hard to look at the sensitivity of this particular indicator in terms of looking at graphically, although statistically we were able to pick it up. Also, The difference between the plant parasitic is that there are species that are endoparasitic and the species that are ectoparasitic. So it might be worth it to go into the species level and see if there, if the indicator becomes much more sensitive. With this, we would like to conclude and say that in general terms, the systems, these indicators show that the systems were able to improve the soil conditions in terms of the resource stock. The palm levels were greater in the pasture and the row crop systems compared to the row crop system and the vegetable. The EI was particularly high at the beginning of the season in the spring sampling in the pasture system. And the PPI in the spring and early summer was greater in the pasture system, as you saw in the graphics. And once again, I wanted to make the point of the aggressive soil preparation, how it impacts and how it affects negatively the complexity of the soil biological community. So with this, I'd like to thank all this great team of investigators and helpers, and obviously our funding agent. So that, I'll take questions if you have some. Thank you.